this item, got to share with you. You know, a while ago, PETA did something. This goes way back to the administration of Rudy Giuliani. Rudy Giuliani was the butt of a very malicious campaign, in my opinion, by PETA. PETA is a group that they're militant vegans, and they argue against meat consumption and dairy consumption because it's from animals. And when it was announced that Rudy Giuliani got prostate cancer, they put up a picture of Rudy Giuliani on a billboard and mimicking the theme of the Got Milk campaign, they captioned the picture of Rudy Giuliani, "Got Cancer?" question mark. And it was a very nasty, malicious campaign, and you know, Rudy Giuliani was rightfully outraged by it and ultimately pulled it down. But the point they were trying to make is that dairy products might be implicated in prostate cancer. So they're going around and around on the research. And finally, here comes a big study out of, let's see, it's multiple site, a lot of different places across the world. They looked at a large number of individuals, and they correlated their dairy product and calcium intakes with prostate cancer. All right? And here's what they found. High intakes of dairy products, milk, and not just fatty milk, but also low fat. You might say, well, it's the fat. No, it's not the fat. Even low-fat milk, cheese, and get this, total dietary and dairy calcium, but not supplemental calcium, may increase total prostate cancer risk. I'll repeat, high intake of dairy products, whether whole milk, low-fat milk, and cheese, and overall, total dairy consumption was associated with higher risk of prostate cancer. Also, dietary and dairy calcium, the more dairy calcium you consumed, and also overall dietary calcium you consumed, the more prostate cancer. But if you took a calcium supplement, it did not appear to increase your risk of prostate cancer. So, yeah, you know, what's up with that? It's unclear. It's not about the fat. It may be about certain hormonal residues. It may be about the environmental pollutants that are concentrated in dairy. It may be the galactose, which is a sugar that's present in dairy that has been shown to increase certain cancers. But dairy here is implicated with a higher risk of prostate cancer in this new study. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 800-321-0710 is our number. We invite your phone calls. We're here live for this weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine.
Have you gone into a health food store and come away disappointed? You can't find someone to answer your questions. All you see on the shelves is their house brand. The products you really want are never the ones on sale. Well, I have. And that's why I'm now a steady customer at Wilner Chemists. They have a fantastic selection of products, and almost everything is discount priced, with great sale discounts as well. And best of all, there's a big staff of nutritionally trained pharmacists and nutritionists who are there to answer your supplement questions. I'm never disappointed at Wilner Chemists. Big professional stores, great discount prices, a wide selection of products, and helpful, knowledgeable staff. No wonder they call Wilner Chemists the nutritional supplement professionals. There are two Wilner Chemist stores in Manhattan, 100 Park Avenue on the corner of 41st and Park, just a block south of Grand Central Terminal, and 253 Broadway on the corner of Murray, just across from City Hall. Call 1-800-633-1106 or check the web at wilner.com. Wilner Chemists, 1-800-633-1106.
Would you want a multivitamin that could give you energy in every single dose? Well, there is one, and I've been telling you about it for over 10 years. Its science pedigree is unmatched. The product is ProPax with NT Factor. Different than any other multivitamin, it improves mitochondrial function with every dose. The ProPax people have now introduced NT Factor in a chewable, berry-tasting wafer. With every order of ProPax or ProPax Gold, you'll get a free 30-day trial of Smart Youthful Energy Wafers. Get yours by calling 1-800-982-9158. The Smart Youthful Energy Wafers are all natural and stimulant-free. Early clinical trials show improved energy and cognitive function with every dose. Get your free 30-day trial of Smart Youthful Energy Wafers by ordering ProPax or ProPax Gold. Call 1-800-982-9182 or order online at ProPax.com. Remember, every order of either ProPax or ProPax Gold, the daily vitamin supplement, will receive a free 30-day trial of Smart Youthful Energy Wafers. Call 1-800-982-9182 or order online at ProPax.com.
Wellness is just a click away. Go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. 800-321-0710 is our number. Yes, it's a different number this week. For this week only, it's our flagship station WOR's number, 800-321-0710 for questions. We've got a couple of lines open, so we'd love to take your questions before the end of the show. And in a moment, I'm going to talk a little bit about homocysteine, which is said to be unimportant now by most doctors. But think again. Before we do that, though, let me tell you about this new supplement that I'm really excited about. You know, in the 1980s, Nancy Reagan said, just say no. And here in 2015, I'm saying it again, just say no. No stands for nitric oxide, which is responsible for multiple functions in your body. According to the American Heart Association, Americans age 40 and over don't produce enough nitric oxide. They produce just 50% of the levels they did at age 30. And nitric oxide is responsible for circulation, for relaxation of the arteries, and for maintaining healthy blood pressure levels. I'm using it for athletic performance because studies show that 2 glasses of beetroot juice per day can increase stamina by 16%. You get the benefits of 3 whole beets in just 1 teaspoon of super beets with no beet taste. I've been taking this stuff, and it really works. My workouts have been going through the roof. So power through 2015 with more energy and stamina. Kick the new year off with a shot of good health. Call now, and with your first order of super beets, they're going to send you a bonus canister free. Drink super beets for just 1 week, and I think you're going to feel the results, or your money back. Go to intelligentbeets.com. One word, intelligentbeets.com, or call 800-738-2198, 800-738-2198 for Intelligent Beets. I'll give you that number one more time, 800-738-2198. Try it. It's super beets. I'm using it. Stuff is dynamite. All right. Homocysteine, like Rodney Dangerfield, don't get no respect anymore, because for a long time it was thought, in tandem with checking your cholesterol and checking your C-reactive protein, you needed to get your homocysteine checked. Now if you go to the doctor and you say, well, please check my homocysteine, your doctor's probably going to give you a lecture about it. Well, homocysteine doesn't matter. It's been disproven. Studies show that homocysteine has nothing to do with heart disease. That's based on one single study, an intervention study, where they gave people some B vitamins who had heart disease, and it didn't help. And I'm aware of the results of that study, and I think that that suggests that people who already have established heart disease, we can't reverse it with B vitamins alone. Homocysteine is a factor in the blood that is elevated due to genetics in some people. And the nice part about it is there's no medication that specifically fixes it. The fix is with vitamin B6, methylated B12, and methylated folate. We're getting away from folic acid these days. I've redesigned my multiple vitamins, which are going to be reissued in a couple of months, so that they don't include artificial folic acid. They have 5-methyl folate, which is the more active, bioavailable, body-ready form of folate. Homocysteine can be lowered with these, but doctors say, well, it doesn't matter. Don't bother taking B vitamins anymore. Well, this new study shows that high homocysteine is, as I suspected, linked with another pretty big problem. It may not be possible to reverse cardiovascular disease with B vitamins alone, but checking your homocysteine and lowering it is still very important. Why? In the Journal of Affective Disorders, there was a report that showed a strong association between high levels of homocysteine and an increased risk of cognitive impairment in older adults. Research was done in Australia. They looked at individuals over 50, and the definition of high homocysteine was 13 or more. Okay, I like to get it down to 7 or 8, but 13 is pretty high, and that's a warning sign that you might be at risk for higher risk of Alzheimer's or cognitive decline. And what they found was that elevated total homocysteine was associated with weaker performance in memory tests and evaluations of cognitive performance when compared to those who had normal total homocysteine. That's pretty important. So you can almost, well, just draw a homocysteine on a person and predict whether they're going to show signs of depleted cognitive function. And, you know, I've seen some wonderful results. I saw a patient the other day whose homocysteine was 8. When he came in, his homocysteine was 26. And we had to go pretty strong on the B vitamins. We also used choline and betaine, which is also referred to as trimethylglycine. And we also used some riboflavin. And it's possible, and I was actually quite surprised, because sometimes it's hard, you know, you're very, very high homocysteine. Sometimes it's hard with just an ordinary B complex or even some of these homocysteine supplements to lower it below the low teens. But we got it right in the normal range, and this patient was really delighted. 800-321-0710 is our number. We got some lines open. We invite your phone calls on this beautiful weekend. This is Intelligent Medicine.
DrHoffman.com, your portal for cutting-edge information on health and nutrition.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. It's nice to get positive feedback. Everybody likes positive feedback. And I got a very nice, often I get comments on Facebook questions and emails and letters. Less so letters these days. Everything's electronic these days. I got this very nice Facebook comment that I'd share with you. Dr. Hoffman, you have been my fountain of knowledge for many years. I am an ICU nurse and personal trainer. I have followed your advice to the letter for the past 20 years. Thank you for all the progressive medical knowledge you convey. You have helped so many, including myself, with your recommendations. Thanks for all that you do. And I appreciate very much hearing from you. If we've touched your lives, if we've made a difference for you, that is super motivating for me, because that's my mission statement. Let's talk to Ginny. Welcome. Hello, Ginny.
Hello, Dr. Hoffman.
Hi there.
Hi. I have a question regarding a medical study that said if you lower your pulse rate, say from the average of 75 beats a minute to 65, you can add a decade of life. Now, is there a trade-off if a person has to take thyroid medication to normalize and stabilize their readings, but it raises their pulse rate?
Sure.
Which is better to do? What choice do you go by?
Well, that's an excellent question, and let's tackle the first part of it, which is it true that you can increase your longevity by lowering your pulse rate? And pulse rate is a sign of conditioning to some extent. Not always, but to some extent, it reflects better conditioning. So when I examine a patient, the patient is lying on the table and their heart rate's going, you know, 100, that may be a patient who's, well, either very nervous or a patient who has poor cardiovascular conditioning. And many patients where there's a nice, slow, steady heart rate, you know, ask, well, gee, do you work out? Do you exercise? Yes, I work out. You know, I go to spin classes. And a lady I was examining the other day, she said, oh, that I go to spin classes regularly. So we have a nice, slow, steady pulse rate at 60. It's perfect. And so there's something to it. Now, there's actually there's a paradoxical effect to exercise. If you engage in super endurance events, as some people do, they do the Ironman triathlon. They're not content with just doing marathons. They want to do double marathons. They want to do 100K races. They want to do, you know, coast-to-coast runs. These super athletes actually can lower their pulse rate to the point where they develop arrhythmias. They actually have a higher rate of arrhythmias. Why is that? Well, there's a kind of a timekeeper or pacemaker in the heart, not an artificial pacemaker, but a natural pacemaker. And when the pacemaker senses that your heart rate is going too slow, it wants to jump ahead a beat. It has, in effect, a mind of its own. It wants to normalize your pulse. And as a result, these people can be more prone to arrhythmias and eventually even develop atrial fibrillation. Many of them have enlarged hearts. Some of them have damaged their hearts with excess exertion, where they've deprived their heart of oxygen because they've kind of hit the wall of limits of their exertion, and that can be a problem. So now when it comes to thyroid, clearly it's more beneficial to be on some thyroid medication, which may, in fact, you know, slightly increase your pulse rate and have a better quality of life. And, you know, you have all kinds of problems if you have too low a thyroid. You might become more diabetic. You might have a greater risk of cardiovascular disease because you're overweight. You know, any number of problems can occur if your thyroid problem is not corrected, not just subjective enjoyment of life, which is clearly affected by not having enough thyroid. Now, you may say, well, okay, what about if I take thyroid, and maybe I could take a medication to slow my heart rate, like a beta blocker. Has that been proven to extend life? Well, if you had a heart attack, maybe, because a beta blocker could be protective against a heart problem, or if you had a heart arrhythmia, you can take a beta blocker. But no study has suggested that we ought to put beta blockers into the drinking water to slow people's heart rates so people live longer. That would be absurd. So there you have it. All right.
You still feel that even if with those thyroid, it raises your pulse?
Yeah, you know,
to say 90,
let me tell you. Let me tell you how I feel. But well, I don't know about 90, but you know, to the right dose, the right kind, you know, the happy medium. Let me tell you how I feel about thyroid. It's a medication. You go to the drugstore to buy it. It seems synthetic and high tech, but actually replacing what your body doesn't make enough of is the best form of natural medicine. So nobody ever had a Prozac deficiency. Nobody ever had a Zocor deficiency. These are artificial medications that are designed to manipulate the body. But giving you back the thyroid that you need, especially when it's natural thyroid, that's a natural intervention that I can really get behind. Just as we give men with low testosterone some testosterone, or women in menopause some natural estrogen and progesterone, that's a natural intervention that can be very beneficial. Let's talk to Joe. Welcome. How you doing, Joe?
Hello, doctor.
Hi there.
I heard your discussion about milk and prostate cancer, and
yeah.
I've been drinking milk all my life, and a quarter
are
day.
You're still alive? I can't believe it. How could that be?
I'm 83 and a half.
That's amazing. It's amazing that you've actually survived. No, here's the deal. You know, everything's relative, and it probably increases the risk of prostate cancer by maybe 20%, okay, at most, I think, in this study, if I recall the details of the study. So it's not like inevitable that you're going to die if you drink milk. And in fact, many people, you know, you interview somebody who's 130, and they may say the secret to my longevity is I drink a nice glass of milk every day, you know, because there's, you know, there are always exceptions. But statistically, there is a higher risk of prostate cancer, according to this big study, when you're a milk drinker. And that I think the take-home message is that for men who have high PSAs or at risk of prostate cancer, maybe they have hereditary prostate cancer, or perhaps they've had prostate cancer and they want to prevent a recurrence, maybe dairy should be off the menu. That I think, is the take-home message. If you made it to 83 and it's working for you, God bless you, because it sounds like you're doing fine. Let's talk to Dee. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Dr. Hoffman. You have such a nice way with the people who call you. I just want you to know that.
Well, thank you very much.
I've now been told that I have osteoporosis, and I, of course, this medication, Fosamax, Reclast, and so on, are recommended.
Yeah.
But a friend of mine, a doctor, has told me that she is taking strontium, I think it's strontium relenate. Now,
yeah.
I've heard some negative
strontium
effects.
Strontium
renalate
is actually, it's a medication from Europe, so maybe she's getting it from Europe. You know, there's strontium available in this country over the counter. It's strontium citrate, and it's available in health food stores, and it's available from websites. And it's not an illicit thing. It's permitted. It's legal. And I really like to use strontium in lieu of the currently available medications whenever possible. I think it's safe. I think it's effective. It's well tolerated. Side effects are minimal. And it really does enhance bone. So many of my patients, they're very, very pleased when they come back 2 years after I start them on strontium. You know, already I've been using it for, you know, maybe 6 or 7 years. And so we've had quite an opportunity to see how patients progress, you know, with every couple of years they get a bone density. And each time we see an appreciable improvement in their bone density. And most importantly, they're not getting fractures. And that's the important thing. And, you know, we complement that with vitamin D and a supplement called Ostera, which contains hops. And you can find these things at our website at drhoffman.com. If I mention something obscure, you can always look it up. Put Ostera, O-S-T-E-R-A, into the search box at drhoffman.com, and you'll get information about it. And vitamin K. MK7 is a type of vitamin K that strengthens bones. You know, we also now have information that vitamin E and omega-3 fish oils have bone-enhancing effects. Silica is helpful for bones. A supplement that I make called Ostea Support has a mixture of ingredients that are supportive of bones. And many patients who follow this protocol, whether they're patients of mine or whether they take it upon themselves to try this protocol, have seen dramatic improvements. So I feel good about it. All right?
What about the negative effects of strontium?
I think that the negative effects of strontium are mostly seen with the strontium ranelate. There is currently a warning in Europe about strontium ranelate, and people highly prone to blood clots that it might be problematic. But I haven't seen that with the different form that's available here, which is the strontium citrate. I don't think that that's a significant problem. If you have a history of thrombophlebitis or a history of stroke, you know, perhaps I would stay away from it. I prescribe it with full confidence here, stateside, in the form that we use that's available as a supplement. Let's talk to Bob. How you doing, Bob?
Oh, hi, Dr. Hoffman. I was wondering about, you know, the warning they put on wines that they contain sulfites?
Yes.
Can that have any bad effect on a body? Like, in particular, I seem to have developed some itchy skin.
Some people have sulfite sensitivity, and usually that's a problem with asthma. Some people think, well, sulfite is something that they add, you know, it's like an added ingredient. But actually, sulfite is something pretty hard to make wine without some sort of sulfite component. So when I see, you know, no sulfite added, that's kind of weasel words, because you don't really have to add sulfite for wine to have sulfite. How old are you, Bob?
I'm 87.
Oh, okay. So it does seem to be, you know, you, like the other gentleman who's been drinking the milk and he survived, you seem to be doing okay with the wine. Do you drink red wine or white wine?
I drink only one wine, Harvey's Bristol Cream.
Okay. I'm not even sure that Harvey's Bristol Cream has a high level of the beneficial resveratrol. You know, Pinot Noir from certain regions of Lombardy and Italy and certain regions of France has a high resveratrol content. I'm not precisely sure that Harvey's Bristol Cream is noted for its health benefits, except that alcohol is somewhat relaxing and the alcohol content itself has slight blood thinning effects. So, I don't know. I don't think that's precisely the cause of your problem, but hey, it's easy to find out. Go off the Harvey Bristol Cream for about 3-4 weeks and see if your itching subsides. There's lots of causes for itching. All right, earlier we talked about homocysteine as a factor in causing memory decline. Here, we have a couple of additional causes of memory decline. One is trans fats. Trans fats have recently been stigmatized as being the cause of lots of cardiovascular problems, even cancer. And here, in this particular study, a new study finds an association between higher consumption of foods containing trans fats and reduced word memory in men of working age. Men of working age, well, that means younger men, not retired men, actually can have their memory damaged by these harmful trans fats. So avoid them. Read labels, although labels can be deceptive because they permit up to a gram of trans fats in foods that are erroneously labeled zero trans fats. In other words, this threshold, you can have a little bit, but a little bit adds up, And some of the serving sizes are really ridiculous. So they'll say, zero trans fats in what? Four potato chips? Well, what if you eat the whole bag? You're going to get a lot of trans fats. And this one, vitamin D. Low levels of vitamin D associated also with cognitive decline. A new study supports a link between low vitamin D and increased risk for cognitive decline in aging adults. So make sure you get your vitamin D checked. Make sure you supplement with vitamin D. One of the most important health messages that I've been getting out over the past 10 years or so is take supplemental vitamin D. A lot of people leading healthier lives because of it. Here's the answer to a question that a lot of people have is, can a cancer biopsy cause my cancer to spread? A lot of people say, gee, they want to biopsy my prostate, but I'm concerned. They stick the needle in, they jab it around. Sometimes they go in, you know, 7-8 times to get cores from different parts of the prostate, or breast biopsy. Could that be a problem? According to a new study, cancer biopsies do not promote cancer spread. A study of more than 2,000 patients has dispelled the myth that cancer biopsies cause cancer to spread. So take it as you will. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Thanks very much for joining us. Make sure you check out our website, drhoffman.com. Sign up for our newsletter. Thanks for joining us.